Another thing that's terrifying is the news that Christian McCaffrey is going to Germany to get looking to treatments for his calf slash Achilles, right? And it's anytime really you're going over to Germany, it's terrifying. So I thought I'm going to do a little bit of research on this. Kobe Bryant did this in 2010 for his knees, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The treatment that Kobe sought out was, I'm probably going to mess this name up, Regenokine, which according to WebMD is a type of regenerative medicine that uses your blood to treat joint pain. So it kind of sounds like you're like a vampire, kind of, mm-hmm. right? Maybe he's going to be a vampire. Anyway, the serum made from your blood is treated in a way to produce an anti-inflammatory protein that may change your body's response to inflammation and improve the damage to cartilage. The reason you have to go to Germany to do this is because it's not approved by the FDA in America, but Peyton Manning, Tiger Woods, Tracy McGrady, Fred Couples were a few names that I saw who have, I don't know if they've done it or went out there to look at it or whatever. So it's not like it's he's going to some witch doctor somewhere in an alley. These are things that have been done by high profile athletes, but it's concerning in the sense that he's not getting answers. This has been lingering for a really long time, and he's found himself like, all right, I got to go somewhere else to try to get some other kind of treatment to get going with this. And it doesn't sound to me, if we're in week four, we're about to hit October, he's going to Germany to try to get answers. Yeah. I don't think he's going to come back and hit the ground running when he's ready to come off IR, you know, or after the bye, like, oh, I'm good to go. Yeah, right. I came back from Germany. And this is a little scary. And this may sound like if you're not going to have McCaffrey until late in the season at best, and kind of like, is he ever going to be himself again? And this happens with running backs when they get, you know, a lot of carries and get in their late 20s, but he's such a big part of this team, and they gave him the guaranteed money, and the expectation was in what might be the last dance, we thought we had one more year with him, and maybe we don't.
Yeah, I actually found this interesting. I follow his name is Jeff Mueller. He's a doctor of physical therapy, and the account that he runs on Twitter is mainly about like injuries specific to football, or specifically to fantasy football. It's got like 32,000 followers. But he posted 3 days ago, posted on the 23rd, about McCaffrey. And what he said was, keys you need to know on tendon injuries and impact of injections. So what he believes McCaffrey is going over to do is a PRP injection, which is platelet-rich plasma. He says that tendon injuries don't heal quickly or well on their own due to poor blood supply, especially if there are micro tears or degeneration. One key issue with tendon injuries is poor collagen production and disorganization. Again, I don't know what that means, but this is what he's writing, leading to mechanical issues of the healing tendon. So he says issues with loading and risk of future rupture. He said PRP injections can provide a high concentration of growth factor filled platelets that can stimulate collagen production and improve organization of that collagen production, leading to improved mechanical properties. He basically said, without help, your body finds itself in a perpetual inflamed state, which is where CMC is. He's flying to Germany because they have the ability to produce a higher concentrated PRP, which should accelerate healing, which I would assume he's seeking. And then he said, with these injections, some athletes have been able to return within 6 weeks of the injections, even though remodeling, meaning like the actual recovery, is still occurring through up to 12 months. He said, this is why I'm not viewing CMC flying to Germany as a bad thing. He's seeking an accelerated healing rate. Best chance of that is in Germany, not the US. He says, and I do believe this gives him a shot to return, but he says after the 49ers week 9 bye. He says in the week 10 to 12 range. And he says it really does
be late in the season.
Yeah, he says it really does depend on how the tendon responds to this treatment, but many of the outcomes have been very good, with a particular spike improvement close to 2 months, which would be week 12 if he's getting treatment starting this week. So again, you know, a doctor of physical therapy, someone with a little bit more knowledge of the subject than any of us have. Mm-hmm. I found that interesting, again, 3 days ago. So, I mean, regardless of what it is that he went to do, it's pretty evident that Christian McCaffrey is not going to be a part of this team until well into the second half of the season.
Yeah.
And I mean, I really appreciate what Jordan Mason has been doing, and I think he can continue to do it. He's, you know, he's a young guy. I think he can carry the load, at least on the ground, but they're going to have to figure something else out in the passing game, or allow Jordan Mason, like we've said, to prove himself in the passing game. Because again, this offense is built around Christian McCaffrey. That is what Kyle Shanahan has done when he has designed this offense. And without him there, you know, that's a huge loss. And so we've already talked about how this defense doesn't look like it's going to be a top 10, top five defense. If it's going to be a 15 to 20 defense, then this offense has to carry this team. And without CMC, that's going to make it a lot more difficult. I've been very encouraged how Brock has played through the first 3 weeks, though. So to
that's
me,
what I was just
I'm
say,
not
yeah.
as concerned. You know, I still think they can get to levels that, you know, maybe not 30 plus points a game, but, you know, in the 27 to 30 point range, I think would be, you know, might be good enough to win enough games to make the playoffs.
Well, here's the thing. Well, before we do that, our producer, the great Spencer Ray, mentioned in our chat that Andrew Luck actually went to the Netherlands for his shoulder before he retired. So Germany is okay. If CMC goes to the Netherlands, we're fucked. So keep that in mind. So if you go overseas, it's not good. But yeah, you CMC wasn't going to be on this team after 2 years anyway, despite what mm-hmm. everybody wants to believe, at least not in the way that he is right now. When you're a running back and you're in your late 20s, he's 28. He had 1 to 2 years left of high quality play. And then that was it. I'm sorry. Believe what you want to believe. He wasn't going to be 30, 31 years old and do what you saw last year, offensive player of the year. Just not happening with the wear and tear. So what I think this is doing is kind of speeding up the process of what the next window is going to look like anyway. And the Niners are going to get a look into, okay, we're not going to have McCaffrey this year. So is Brock going to be the answer? And based on what we've seen in, you know what? I'm going to say all three games because Minnesota's given everybody fits. Nobody doubts CJ Stroud is the answer, and he looked like shit against them last
Exactly. year. I would say Brock played significantly better against Minnesota than CJ Stroud did. And CJ Stroud has just as many weapons as Brock Purdy does. And so, you know, I think that's an encouraging sign in and of itself.
100%. And I thought he played better than his stats looked in week one. And I thought he played great last week. So if this continues, you know, maybe we're finding things out about our quarterback, which long term is better. So that's that is really good in the sense that you're going to get answers on Brock. It sucks about McCaffrey, but
yes,
we are where we are, and they have to move on with the guys that they have. And the guys that they have, Brian, in this game, I'm not worried. I said this last week, but I'm not worried about the Pats. I wasn't worried about the Rams either. That didn't work out well for me. But this game, the Patriots are absolutely terrible. And we mentioned it on the last show, Matthew Stafford can change some things. And we saw he's going to make plays that can change a game.
And Sean McVay.
Sure, absolutely. One of the top coaches. You have a new coach in Gerard Mayo, who's not an offensive mastermind by any stretch of the imagination. This season for Jacoby Brissett, 42 completions, 368 yards. On the season, the Pats have scored 39 points this year. This year on offense, it's 31st in the league. 739 yards, that's last. 4.2 yards per play, that's 30th. 21 passing first downs, that's 31st. 306 net yards passing. That's not in a game. That's on the season. Their sack percentage is 12.5%. And if you watched any of their games, I mean, Brissett's not going to
That's why Drake
May's
not playing.
Right. That's what we were talking about with Fitzy. Yeah. The only reason you could say he's not in the end is because they're afraid he's going to get killed.
Right.
And Brissett may get killed and they may have to put him in. They've only scored 3 offensive TDs. If you can't shut this team down, I don't know what to tell you.
At home.
And they proved to be scrappy for a couple of weeks. They look terrible against the Jets, but like you said, it's at home. I don't care if it's a long week for them. You know, they're going across the country. This is a terrible offense. Mm-hmm. The Niners, despite their issues, and I'm going to talk about some of the Niners' issues on defense soon, it's a 10.5 point spread. I don't know if they'll cover that, but they should win this game fairly easily.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, Matthew Stafford, one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, he's going to win games single-handedly on his own at times. And I feel like he did last week. Kyren Williams had a good amount to do with it as well. But I mean, the Patriots, really all they have going for them is Ramondre Stevenson, as a runner. But I mean, if you can concentrate, you know, your game plan around just stopping the run and making Jacoby Brissett and the jabronis he has to throw to, beat you, I think that's a pretty decent, you know, that's a pretty decent game plan, especially considering you've got Charvarius Ward, you've got friend of the show, Diamador Lenore, and Hufunga's back. And there's no reason why they can't shut this offense down. And if they don't, then sound the alarm.
Yeah, ring the alarms.
Things are absolutely falling down around them. And so, yeah, this is the problem is you don't want to look past this week, you know, because you do have two divisional opponents coming up in the Cardinals and the Seahawks. And it is the NFL, and we've seen, I mean, look at the Panthers, you know, beating the Raiders a week after the Raiders beat the Ravens. So it's still the NFL. The other team still gets paid to play. You know, Gerard Mayo is going to be a good coach. They just don't have talent. They just don't have talent on the offensive side of the ball. And, you know, they've got a young quarterback that they don't want to get killed. They don't want to give him the David Carr treatment. And I can respect that because, you know, that one season in Houston ruined David Carr's career. And that was his rookie season. So, yeah. You know, you don't want to do that with the guy that you drafted third overall. So, they absolutely should not only be able to shut this offense down, but I think the offense shouldn't have very many problems scoring points against this New England defense, which is decent, but again, still not what we're used to from those Bill Belichick teams.
Yeah, and we agree the offense is going to be fine. We're worried about the defense. And Demo told us he just thinks it's growing pains. Mm-hmm. We're going to obviously he knows what's going on. He's the starting corner. He's in the room. Yeah. And he's probably right. There's a lot of talent here. They're going to get better. He's definitely right. They're going to get better as the season goes on. But the defensive line is going to continue to worry me just because of the
attrition at this point.
Right. Attrition and the people we just don't know about. When you get Dre Greenlaw back, it's going to make a huge difference. But right now, yards per play, the Niners giving up 6.1. That's 30th in the NFL. They've given up 69 points, which is the 12th most. 5 passing TDs, which is the 5th most. Net yards per attempt, 7.3. That's 30th in the NFL. The rushing defense, negative 15.24 EXP, which is expected points against, 30th in the NFL. Only Dallas and the Rams are worse. Third down conversions, 52.9%. That's 30th in the NFL. Red zone percentage, 60%. Bottom third in the NFL. In scoring percentage, 43.3%, bottom third in the NFL. You mentioned to me last show, Al, we may start seeing some replacements. And I'm like, who are you going to put in? Matt Maiocco wrote an article about this today, because clearly he's probably listening to the show. He's not.
Absolutely.
But he wrote an article about it today, and he mentioned receiver in terms of just, you know, Ronnie Bell, and maybe they have to get Cowling in or whatever. But two spots on defense. The first was Campbell at linebacker. Mm-hmm. And he said Campbell has struggled in pass coverage as an every down linebacker. He's allowed 14 receptions on 16 targets for 149 yards and one TD through 3 games. And that was the issue in the Super Bowl when Greenlaw went out with Oren Burks as well. That's not his words. Those are mine. Then Maiocco goes on to say he was also called for a critical pass interference penalty of 25 yards against the Rams. He says the 49ers could consider moving linebacker Curtis Robinson into a more prominent role. Because Demetrius Flanagan Fowles is also struggling and D Winters is banged up.
Yeah.
He also mentions Isaac Yiadom, who surrendered 10 completions on 13 targets for 123 yards and a touchdown and was flagged for 48 yard pass interference penalty. If they believe it's time to make a change, Renato Green would be the person. Obviously, again, you have Ward and you have Demo where they're not going anywhere. They're lockdown guys. But if you're going to change Yiadom out, Green would be the person. So linebacker, we'll see. Maybe Green starts to get more snaps. But if you don't start seeing some results, those are, you said, Al, can we make some changes? And I was like, I don't know.
Not a ton,
Those are maybe two changes you can make.
It's interesting that that Green is the one mentioned again as a rookie. We know famously Kyle Shanahan is not a fan of starting rookies on either side of the ball unless you're Nick Bosa. But because they also have Rocky Sin and they also have Daryl Luter Jr., who's been with the team for a couple years now. So it's interesting that Green is kind of at the top of that. But I mean, he showed out in the preseason. I mean, he played really well. So I understand that. But I am genuinely, I was excited about that Yotam signing. I thought that was an underrated signing this offseason. And it certainly seems like it is more like the signing of the famous nickel corner that Steve Wilks wanted. And again, just like yesterday when I forgot Steve Wilks.
Yeah, why am I forgetting? Isaiah Oliver,
who is on another team now. I love how you put like everything Steve safety. Wilks.
Everything Steve Wilks out of your head. You don't know his name. You don't know anybody.
That's how you got to do it, man. That's how you got to do it, right? You just got to wipe that clean. I'm done. I'm done. I would love. I mean, I would love to see younger guys take over for some of these older guys that are underperforming. I think that's the name of the game, right? We're talking about the next window. You got to see who you have in these young players. And Devondre Campbell is not going to be on this team next year. But Curtis Robinson could, and D Winters could, right? And really all you're looking for is just adequate play until Dre Greenlaw gets back, right? That's all you're looking for. Mm-hmm. And right now Campbell's not doing that for you. And to be perfectly honest, we probably could have expected that. You know, Campbell's had down years the last 2 years in Green Bay. There was no reason to think that that would be any different this year, a year older at the linebacker position, but again, they love their vets. So, they gave him an opportunity, but yeah, I definitely hope so. I hope that Jacob Cowing starts to see some time over Stonehands, Ronnie Bell,
same.
Because what are we doing? Like what? I mean, again, you saw Shanahan's reaction on the sideline when Bell dropped that pass. I'm surprised he didn't go out there and just start choking him. Like, you know what I mean? But also like who's to blame them? You're the one that kept him on the roster. And B are putting him out in routes over a guy like Jacob Cowing, who you drafted in the fifth round, right? Like, again, stop being so damn stubborn. Like, give these guys an opportunity, show what they can, because right now you're down players. You can't just go with the status quo, right? You're down Debo, you're down CMC, your depth at wide receiver with Ricky Pearsall, also out. Like, You gotta see what you have, because we've seen what Ronnie Bell is and it's not good. So also like give Chris Conley that opportunity. Like again, like
I'm surprised
why is Ronnie Bell getting the opportunity? Just punt him into the sun, please. I'm done. I'm done with him.
That's a great point, actually. We'll see. Like if Conley's out there, maybe that's a catch. He's had some big catches for them. Really good. I forgot about him for whatever reason, like out of sight, out of mind, but that's a great point. I didn't even think about that with Bell. Like why the hell isn't Conley maybe getting the run there?